Glory to the King of Kings, majesty, power and strength to the Lord of Lords, power and strength to the Lord of Lords, power and strength to the Lord of Lords.
Wonderful, marvelous love. How can it be excelled? It cannot. The Scripture commands Christians to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 2:1. Well, grace is unmerited favor, unearned love. That is the kind of grace found in Christ Jesus. Jesus showed people amazing love. This is the grace that Christians are commanded to possess.
You are listening to The Voice of Truth with Larry Murdock, brought to you by Churches of Christ from around the world.
It is hard for humans to show the grace of Christ, and much harder to be strong in that grace. When your life has been full of envy and strife, it is hard to show the kind of love demonstrated by Christ. When you are full of hatred and malice because of something someone did to you, it is hard to allow grace into your heart. Humans have a hard time with the kind of grace demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn love from two major sources, human and divine. We learn love first from our parents. Some children are raised in the shadows of strife and fussing and fighting, a world of angry, raised voices. Anger develops into malice that easily becomes physical. Division is usually the result, separation, and finally divorce. But that does not end it, no, especially when the children are in the middle. The children then may witness a smoldering hatred, a dirty, insinuating rivalry between their custodians. One or both parties cannot stop the sniping. And so the couple continues to demonstrate unkindness before their children. How can the children escape the pain and the hurt caused by angry parents? Is it possible? Well, learning to love like Jesus Christ is the answer to this problem. On the other hand, some children are raised between loving parents. These children witness love in action day by day. They may very well grow up to be loving parents themselves. These children take seriously what their parents have attempted to teach them. But Satan does not stop tempting people because they are raised by loving parents. That's right. On the contrary, through a variety of other means, these children can also learn from the world of their peers and from the world of make-believe. The sinful world can twist love into pornography and hideous desire, exploited love, opportunistic love of self above love of others. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is a great light in a world that's full of darkness, in a world that's full of dark and twisted love. What was the grace of Christ like? Well, Christ was compassionate toward everyone. Oh, what divine love it is when humans can show compassion even to the vilest of sinners. Even with scribes and Pharisees, whom he called hypocrites, Jesus could show compassion by telling them what the problem was. Jesus had compassion for people because of many types of situations. For instance, Jesus felt strongly for people because they had no leader to lead them to salvation. That's right. Matthew 9:36 says that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus then said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into his harvest." Well, those people needed leaders, spiritual leaders. Jesus called those people laborers in the Lord's harvest. Well, even today we need leaders who can show the compassion that Jesus felt for leaderless people. On another occasion, Jesus had gone out to an isolated place to get away from the multitude and to pray. However, the crowd followed him, and they found him. Jesus looked up and saw a great multitude of people, but Matthew tells us that he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 14, verse 14. Jesus always showed compassion upon the sick and the afflicted, even when he was weary and needed some rest. Earlier in the book of Matthew, the writer tells us that Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. And so his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. Matthew 4, 23 and 24. Well, Jesus took the time and he gave people what he could give them. He gave them healing. He also gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the coming kingdom. After John the Baptizer was put in prison, he heard about the deeds of Jesus. And so John sent some of his disciples to Jesus to ask him a question. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Matthew 11, verses 2 through 6. Among the great things that Jesus was doing, Jesus thought it was important that the poor have the good news preached to them. Jesus' first mission was to compassionately teach the kingdom of God in their synagogues and proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Even though the great compassion of the Lord can be seen in his treatment of the sick and the afflicted, Jesus' first concern was his compassion for the souls of those people. That's right. Jesus cared about their souls, whether or not the people would go to heaven or hell. He compassionately told the people about the good news of the kingdom. Jesus walked all over Galilee, and later Decapolis, Perea, Judea, and even among the despised people of Samaria. And why? Because Jesus despised no one. He had compassion upon all and for all reasons. In his words, he came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus trained his disciples also to go out and heal the sick and preach the good news of the kingdom. Luke chapter 10 records Jesus' instructions when he sent out his disciples to preach. Whenever you enter a town, he said, and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, The kingdom of God has come near to you. Luke 10, 8 and 9. You see, the kingdom of God was the bottom line. The kingdom of God was their greatest need. The kingdom of God was the greatest news. Well, what is so compassionate about preaching the kingdom? Which kingdom you are in makes the difference between heaven and hell for you. That's right. You see, the kingdoms of the world were following Satan, just as they are today. The kingdom of God follows God. Jesus, like John the Baptizer, his forerunner, came announcing the beginning of a new kingdom, God's kingdom, also called the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom was established by Jesus Christ, and it still is in the world today, and you can be a part of that kingdom. That's right. Christ's kingdom had been predicted by the prophets hundreds of years before Christ came. The old prophet Daniel was called one day to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Daniel said that the king had seen in a vision future kingdoms that were to come after his own would be demolished. In the days of the last kingdom in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel predicted that God would set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Daniel said, "It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever." Well, this eternal kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar's dream is the kingdom begun by Jesus Christ. It's also called the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was showing compassion upon people by preaching the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus' compassion for the sick was real, but his compassion for the spiritually sick was also real. Jesus' kingdom is Jesus' great church. That's right. And the things that Jesus taught in describing the kingdom of heaven apply to his church. I know that the kingdom and Christ's church are the same institution because of what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18 and 19 when he said, "I will build my church." And then in the next breath, he told Peter and the other apostles, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And so Jesus used the word church and the word kingdom interchangeably. Jesus was going to build the church, and Peter and the other apostles would have the keys to open up the kingdom of heaven. The entrance into the kingdom of heaven is compassionately laid out in the New Testament of Jesus Christ, written by the key holders, the apostles and prophets of the first century A.D. Without the compassionate testimony of Jesus Christ, we could know nothing about the kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ. When Jesus walked those great distances in order to preach the kingdom of heaven, he demonstrated his great love for souls of the people. The church of Christ still goes to great lengths to preach and teach the kingdom of Christ. It is a labor of love. The preachers and teachers in the church of Christ carry on the great commission given them when Jesus commanded, "Go ye into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned." Mark 16, 15 and 16. Our Heavenly Father has shown his great love and his great compassion for the human race by sending his only begotten Son into the world to take the world's sin upon himself and then die a separation from God on behalf of the world. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is our compassionate friend, our compassionate Savior.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Larry Murdock, brought to you by Churches of Christ from around the world. You may wish to view our website at www.voiceoftruth.us. That's www.voiceoftruth.us. May God bless you, and thank you for listening to The Voice of Truth.
Power and strength to the Lord of Lords. Power and strength to the Lord.